Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. It's good to be back. I had the weekend and the little bit of last week as I was getting my brother out of prison. And we talked about this a little bit in the podcast. So if you've already listened to the podcast, you heard part of the story. But I couldn't get into the whole story after what happened after. But we'll do that here. Like, that's why, yeah. I love the Aftercast. It's life stuff. So quick recap in case you haven't heard that. My brother, I go to pick my brother up out of prison after 7 years, and they, when we get there, they're like, okay, first of all, we get there at 7:30 because he was trying to get out before they do count. Every 4 hours, they have to count who all's in there, mm-hmm. and they have to get it right because it's important. I want to make sure everybody's still there and accounted for, and it takes like an hour, and then if they mess it up, they got to redo it and stuff like that. And so he was trying to get out before that happened, mm-hmm. but then there were some technical problems with things to let him go, and so he ended up missing that count, and then they made a mistake and had to recount. So we got there at 7:30. We got him out at 10. So we literally just have to sit in our cars in the driveway there, the parking lot, and you can't take video or anything like that. So we wait for him to come out, and I had talked to one of the other officers that was doing patrol rounds in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and he was super cool, nice guy, and he knew my brother, and he's like, oh, he's a good man.
Awesome.
We appreciate him. He was always like, if you needed something, you could call him. He'd be there no matter what time. You know, so it's like, oh, it's cool to hear other people that interacted with him talk about him, you know, and know him. And so my brother comes out, and they had told us, you cannot run up to him, hug him. He's going to come out. You're going to put him right in your car, and you're going to leave, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I was really bummed about this because I'm like, here's an opportunity, especially to celebrate someone coming out after something and, like, to treat them humanly again and humanely again. And, like, it's like these moments are things that they should capitalize on and celebrate, you know, when it works, you know. And I get not everyone has that. Like, so many people don't have anyone pick them up. They give them a bus ticket, and they send them off. And so it's like when you have a family that loves this person, it's like, yeah, give them that moment and let them come back. And I get reasons why they don't do it and stuff. But what was really cool was he was coming out, and he kind of waved motion for us to come over because he had two of the guards with him. And so we all, okay, let's do it. So we all get out. I mean, what's the worst thing to do? They're not going to arrest us. They'll probably take him. they just turn him right back around and walk him back in. And so we go out there, and my sister, Becky, just starts videotaping. I'm like, oh, nicely done. Okay, I'm going to do this too. So I start videotaping as well.
I'm not the first one to do it.
I know. I figured they'll take her first. I'm faster. So we're videotaping this. But it was really cool because the officer, was so kind about my brother and stopped. He talked right to my brother's kids. His daughter, by the way, I had had dinner with her the night before, and I'm like, are you...
Your niece.
My niece, yeah. I was like, you okay with all this? She's like, I'm nervous. I'm like, why are you nervous? She goes, because when Jimmy went away, his kids were 5 and 7. And
that's
now
crazy.
They're 8 years later almost, so they're 12 and 15. And so, like, it was just like a... Like, she was nervous. Like, I don't know what I know of him. But it was so crazy to watch him come out, and she makes a beeline for him. Just runs up, hugs him. Like, it was so cool to see that. And then his son comes up and hugs him. And then you got all of his family and stuff. And he had a friend come up. It's just a really good moment that I guess we're breaking the rules at this point. But the guard that was there was so kind. Like, he stopped everybody. He talked right to Jimmy's kids and was like, he's a good man. He's ready to come home. We took care of him. You know, we want you guys to know that, you know. And it was just a great moment. It was like so good. Like, and we were on this high from it, like, all weekend long. There's a lot of stuff to do when we got him home, but we were so ecstatic. And the things that we thought might be hard and all the things we speculated about and worried about were non-issues, and it was so good. And then, so you're like so thankful, and he's living with my mom, and then all of a sudden it all changed on Monday, and not his fault. You know, he's caught up in this system that breeds recidivism, you know, and it's such a bad system. And again, I know why it is like it is, but when you're doing everything right and you've got a family that supports you and you can't win, then how is anyone ever not going to go back that doesn't have that? You know, so he gets a deputy, comes to his house where he's living with my mom, says, you can't live here. Even though we had done all the paperwork, done everything, they're like, you have to move in 24 hours. And he's like, what? So he gets a week extension. And so nothing has been solved yet. This was literally last night. And so I'm finding all this out.
You've been driving home.
I'm home. Yeah, you are home. I finally got home. And so it turns out like he might have to move in a week. And so he's trying to make some phone calls today. But like all the things we were told, all the things that we did right just don't matter because of a piece of paper or because somebody says, well, they told you this, but I rule this and doesn't matter to me. And you're like, dadgummit, this is why people can't win and why people keep going back to prison and why we're never going to rehabilitate anybody. You know, I felt it's just, and so my heart is like super heavy right now trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? And again, we had everything in place and my sisters and I all kicked in money to give him like a starting bank account. Like, so like he's coming out best case scenario and still is behind the eight ball, you know? And so I to this day, I'd like right now, as of this moment on this podcast, I have no idea what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, man, I'm just praying, you know, like I spent all last night praying and today like going, God, you know, you got him to this point. And in the conversation he and I had was like, you know, I'm like, we have to remember that God got you through a really horrible thing. And, you know, he's still that same God, even though we want to control everything. You know, he's still there, and I have to remind myself of that, you know, and he's not just going to, you got out and then let you fall. I don't think, I hope, man, I hope that's not how it works. You know, I would figure that he's still there controlling this, you know, and we just have to have faith and trust, and we still have to make inroads and make our calls and do stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm curious to see where this is going to go, and I'm really hoping, my prayer in it was like, you know, outside of hoping for the outcome that I wanted, my prayer in it was like literally, and it's, I haven't prayed like this in a long time. Like my prayer in it was like that as I talk about this and people talk about it, that the thing that seems completely out of the realm of possibility in a true like miracle to change this will happen so that people will then see God in his truth and his presence and his interaction in our lives, and that they don't just, you're just not on your own. Because I think a lot of people struggle with that, you know? And so for me, my hope is that sometime this week, you know, I'm giving a completely different update that is like, you're not going to believe this. You know, everything that should not have worked out did, and God is good. And I hope that, you know, is the case, but you, I don't know.
Do they not provide housing for people that are trying to?
Dude, when you come out, they throw you away and they expect you not to rebound back in somehow. But there's nothing, like there are certain ministries that try to help, you know, and things like that. But again, he's got a family, has a place to go. Like, yeah, everything was right. You know, we did everything right and it still didn't matter. And it's so frustrating. You know, and like you can't even, you don't even have time to like talk to a lawyer to see if you can fight this thing when you've been given, you know, 7 days to leave. It's just so, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm still working through it. I'll be working through it today after work to see what happens, but I'll keep you posted here on the Aftercast. But that's where I've been, and that was my week. So highs and lows in that life, huh?
Oh.
Yeah. What do you got, Lady Rock? Least of these. Least of these.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know if you wanted me to do that or talk about we were doing our weekends, our long weekends.
Oh, no. I wasn't doing like a long weekend thing, but you actually did something this week and I saw some of the pictures, so we can do that.
Okay. I did.
Weekend plans. Yes. Everybody had them weekend plans.
I went to Chattanooga with my friend Nick Knack.
Yeah.
We've made a list of things of, like, it's so nice to now have someone that actually wants to travel with
you. Yeah, that's good.
And you want to travel with too. But we decided to go to Chattanooga.
Did you travel well together? Because that's a big thing. Did you like the same snacks for the road trip?
Yes.
What'd you guys listen to?
Oh, good call.
She is really into the new Justin Bieber
album.
Nice.
So, I would have thrown myself out of that car.
We listen to that.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's right.
It's definitely not good. The best, but it's not
awesome.
Bad.
No.
But there's definitely like some other things that we listen to that we both like grew up on because we're from the same like generation.
Because she's in a band, so you didn't have to just listen to her band the whole time.
No.
Okay, good.
No. But we did that. I did a lot of talking, went to the aquarium and saw all the cute animals and stayed the night at a hotel, and then the next day we went to Rock City.
I saw the video of you going through Rock City. Were you going through that thing called Fat Man Squeeze?
It was something like that.
Yeah, it's very politically incorrect these days. Very insensitive.
For sure. But what was so funny is we're going through that, and there's this kid that's behind us, and he's talking to his dad, and he's like, "Dad, you won't be able to fit through here."
Betty Rock went through Fat Man Squeeze with about a mile on either side of her.
Could we have fit?
No.
We couldn't?
No, you would never have made it.
You could.
You sound so... Yeah, sure.
I've made it through once, but it was they buttered me up.
And push him!
Yeah, they did. There was a Cub Scout troop behind me, just all of them like pushing on me.
Are we going to get to go through?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's it was so much fun just to get out of town and, you know... The hardest part, though, is just getting back into the swing of things. Like today, I'm like... I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. Everything just seems like, oh, wait. And today's Tuesday. It doesn't seem like a Tuesday.
I know. How great is that?
So,
love it.
But it was good.
All right, Rock, what do you got for Aftercast for our release of these?
Well, another good thing that happened was Nate Bargatze, he released his new stand-up routine on Netflix.
Yeah, he had a special there.
And so I think we all three watched it.
Yeah, we did.
And I don't think, Wally, you didn't seem that impressed about it.
I don't even want to say that because I love Nate Bargatze so much. I have been the biggest Nate Bargatze fan. I play clips of his on the radio. Like, I tell everybody I know about how good he is as a comic.
And he is.
He's a great comic. This one, to me, it was not as good as his first one. And that's got to be really hard because his first one was a home run. Mm-hmm. And so when you hit a
When you say the first one, because
his first Netflix special.
Okay, because I think of it as the Netflix one that he did where the stand-ups and it's like 30 minutes.
Oh no.
That one was still really good.
One was fantastic he talks about the aquarium or whatever it was that he was, the sanitarium or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he addresses it in the second one.
Right.
So when you say first, I'm thinking of the real first one. I think you're referring to the second one.
He's really funny. I gut laughed a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for me is like the last one, and I've got his albums. I listen to all his albums multiple times. Like I can remember jokes, and this one I had trouble remembering the jokes per se.
I think that we're so far into this whole like COVID thing, and I believe this was filmed probably like last year.
Right.
And so there are a lot of like COVID related topics in there.
Right.
And so personally, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've heard an iteration of that comment or that joke before.
Yeah,
I feel like that dragged it down just
a little
bit. That
was part of the problem. Like for me, like some of the COVID stuff in the beginning of it, it's things that I've actually like said too. Mm-hmm. Like not as funny, obviously. but like I had the same take. Like I appreciate the guy's take on stuff. And I feel like I'm nitpicking. I'm nitpicking somebody who's really good at this. You know, and I feel bad
like
about
he's bar none, not even compared to a lot of other
people.
Like it is amazing. We're comparing him to himself.
Right.
And
that's a good point.
That's a big thing. Because we're not comparing him to anyone else.
No, he's fantastic.
Just him on his own. If you had to give it a grade between 1 and 5, the first one,
five. The first one's a 5.
Okay, that's a 5. Okay, so what was this one?
I'd go 4 on this one.
Not even a 4 point something?
No, I'd go 4 on this one personally,
solid
Gavin.
4.
I actually like had it just a little bit lower.
3.5.
Like 3.8 maybe.
Okay,
it's still so funny. But yeah, no, comparing it to
give it a 4.2.
Okay. Really?
Okay. So you might get the most out of us, it seems.
And the thing about it is, too, like, I feel bad for this because it's like anytime a band releases an album, like, you love their first album, then the second one comes out and you're like, oh, it's
right. And it's like, it's
so hard.
It's hard.
I know. They're doing the best they can.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still fantastic.
Yeah. He has not only himself to blame for being so great the first time.
Yep.
You know? So, okay.
Well, if you missed it, here are a couple of things that you missed. So, this is the first one on why 2020 has been an epic year.
They said there's UFOs and no one cares. That's what kind of year could you have that you could sneak in at the end of the news? They go, there's UFOs. And you're like, oh, do they have COVID? And you're like, no. You might even watch this and be like, oh, I didn't even hear that. And that's the point. That's how amazing 2020 has been.
So then he goes on to talk about how his friends are handling the pandemic in different ways.
I got friends that they take a shower with their mask on and they sleep with the mask on because they have a hamster and the hamster probably has it. And they live alone. It's just them and the hamster. And I also have friends that I don't think have even heard about COVID. I have a lot of friends, too, that they tell me they already had it. There's a big, they're like, I had a fever. February, had a fever for a couple hours, so probably had it. I had one friend, he told me he had it in 2015. Convinced. He goes, I had it in 2015. I was the first, and it just didn't catch on like it has now, but...
Yeah, like you hear that. It's like, okay, that was good. That was good. It was topical.
It was great.
It was good. I feel really bad. Like, the guy is a professional comedian that's funnier than I'll ever be in my entire life. And I feel bad. It's like a movie critic that's like, well, I don't think the third act was really good. You know, like, if you're the person that directed a movie, like, well, why don't you do it? You're so great. Why don't you do it?
Okay, so instead of grading him against himself,
yeah,
what about you take everything into perspective, like all the stand-up routines you've seen, then compare this one with that.
This one with those?
Yeah.
Like his first one, I'll put him at the top. I'll put him at probably the best that I've heard. Like better than Seinfeld.
Okay,
like,
think about all of that.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of those people out there.
This is middle of the pack.
Yeah, I like a lot of other stand-up acts more than that one.
Middle of the pack.
I just don't see myself going back to rewatch that anytime soon.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, doing the whole COVID thing, like, I get it, like, it seems topical now, but I think it's, like you had said, I think it's late.
Yeah, and especially, like, 5 years from now, I mean, I guess you might watch it and be like, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, but... And then he's outside.
That was funny with the helicopters.
I thought he dealt with that well.
Yeah. I mean, his delivery and stuff is so great. And this is, I feel bad. I feel like I'm trashing him. And that's totally not the case because I would like to be his best friend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Nate Bargatze came in here. Okay, now I'm really good at, like, when somebody comes in, if I've said something off the air about them or, like, on a podcast and then they come in, like, if I said I don't like their song, I don't have them on and go, oh, I love your song. You're fantastic. Mm-hmm. So if Nate Bargatze came in here, I would be like, I love your stand-up. Everything you've ever done is so great.
You can do no wrong.
That second thing you did about COVID, I loved it more than anything itself. I want to have another child so I could name it Bargatze.
Wow.
Yes, like that.
Not Nate, but
yeah, no, Bargatze. Yeah. Like, I love it that much, and I love you that much. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay. That went a lot further than I thought.
Let me ask you
a question. This is a burning building question.
Yes.
Because I know you get very giddy over Nate Bargatze.
I know, he's really great.
But you also get very giddy over John Acuff.
Oh, yeah. No question.
No question.
Acuff is going to roast. Burning building, I'm taking Bargatze.
Oh.
And I like Acuff. I know Acuff. Like, we're friends, so he would understand. He would be mad at me. John Acuff knows comedy so well, and he knows how funny Nate Bargatze is. If I went to pick him up, he would tell me, put me down, save Bargatze. Because John knows the comedy hierarchy. He knows that Bargatze's higher than him, and he knows that comedy is important. And so he would not allow me to save him if Nate Bargatze was in the picture. And that's what I respect about John, but I would do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, there you go.
One lone little tear.
I know.
I think if you lost Acuff, there would be one tear. If you lost Bargatze,
I'd quit. I'd mourn. I'd probably live in a van.
Try and take his place.
Oh. Down by the no one can take his place. He's too good.
Wally, please.
He's too good. Thank you. Too good. All right. Do we have any birthdays?
We do.
All right,
Alex wants to wish herself a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Said she's a huge potty from the Bahamas.
Oh, cool.
The first time I heard the show was when Wally was wearing the electric dog collar, and it made me laugh so hard that I started listening to the Wally show every day.
That's a good one. That is the worst thing we ever did. We used to let Betty Rock hurt me for her birthday on Cinco de Betty, and it was to get even with me for all the mean things I did. And then I started just being nice, and we ended that bit. and because also, like, they had taken it to the farthest they could go without killing me.
I could think of something else.
No, like, short of, like, killing me or tattooing me, like, well, but now I'm tattoo Wally. I got one, so whatever. It's not important. Don't want to discuss it.
Oh my
word! Don't give him anything.
I put a dog shock collar on, and you had to bark to make it go, and it was funny because I'm like, bark, and it won't go. I'm like, bark, and it won't go, and I'm like, man, this thing isn't. Like, it hurt. That was the worst stunt I think that I've done.
It was great though.
Yeah, you
and
loved
obviously
it.
Everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, apparently we get more listeners now. Yay.
Brayton wants to wish his brother Decker a happy birthday.
And this, happy birthday, Decker. And this too, I don't want to hear anyone ever complain about things you're asked to do for show. Like, unless it's put a dog collar on, if it's worse than that, I don't want to hear any complaints. Gavin's pretty good. Gavin rolls pretty good with the things we've had him do so far.
I haven't been asked to do anything.
Because I know you're going to complain. I don't want you to. I just want to have the conversation.
I have the right to complain.
We'll take that cross.
Decker. Okay, he said Decker's turning 8 years old, an amazing little brother, though sometimes he's annoying. Happy birthday, Decker.
That checks out.
Okay, the question is, when was the time that your sibling annoyed you the most?
Oh. It was funny, like we were sitting there with my family, my sisters all came in where we'd get my brother out, and like we were at lunch one day, and all they did was talk about all the annoying things I did as a kid.
There was no idea.
I had no idea. I didn't remember half of them. I'm like, really? That was like a Tuesday for
me. There's six of y'all, right?
Five, yeah.
Five,
yeah.
Okay.
So I have three sisters and one brother. And so, yeah, they all just took turns talking about all the things I did. I'm like, really?
Did you remember most of it?
No, because I just was a funny kid. Like, oh, this will be funny.
See, that's the issue.
Right.
You think it's funny.
Right.
And it was considered torture. They've probably seen therapists for it.
Yeah, some of them should. For other reasons.
So they would say you're the annoying one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Was there ever a time that your sisters or your brother got on your nerves?
I mean, my little brother would, just because he was my little brother, you know, and I was like 6 years older than him or something like that. But that was just normal, natural stuff. Like, I can't think of anything in particular, you know, because you always bust each other's chops, you know, when you're kids.
But probably because you were the problem.
Right. And you were a solo act, so you didn't have siblings. Gavin?
I was more annoyed by when my brother and sister would argue with each other, because they always argued at like a certain age. And I was never a fan of that because it would get loud. And I think I was one of those people who, like, maybe, like, you know, 10-year-old Caleb was like a, ooh, whoops.
Not my name. 10-year-old Gavin, who you are, yeah.
was like a 9 on the Enneagram word. Just like, I just didn't want them to argue. And I
would
just
wanted, try to resolve it?
I would. And every once in a while, I'd be like, can I bribe you with one of my stuffed animals? Or,
oh, wow.
You know, I'll go
you
get,
wanted
you
peace
can have,
that bad.
I did not care for it.
Man, I think I would have poked the bear some. I would have been like, wow. Then did you see him?
It is kind of fun. Yeah, it is kind of fun to do that. Like, you lob in the grenade and you step back. Yeah, just see how it plays
and
out.
And where were your parents? Why didn't they try to solve it?
I mean, like, we always lived in houses where you had, you know, like a basement. And so we always had time to spend down there and hang out and play. And so a lot of it would go down there. And then, you know, parents like wouldn't hear it. And I wasn't like a tattletale that I'd go up and be like, they're arguing, make them stop. I'd be like, I can make you stop.
A lot of parents are like, I'm not dealing with this. You guys work it out. Like, I mean, there were times like that. My wife, I think, did her mom, somebody, like, they would make them stand there and hug each other and while they were fighting, and they had to hug each other, and then they'd kind of start laughing, and then it would end the fight kind of thing.
I've seen something like that where they have the timeout shirt, and so the two siblings that are fighting have to wear this huge shirt.
That's really funny.
And share it.
That's funny. Yeah, that's a creative way to handle that. Because, yeah, a lot of times when you're like, hey, I know other parents too, like, go work it out. Don't bring this to me. You guys work it out. And I think that's actually kind of healthy, you know, unless someone's bleeding. Like, I think
or on fire.
Yeah, like that's probably pretty healthy, because you got to learn to navigate people and negotiate every day. You know, go to college. Oh, my gosh, that's this all about. You know, you learn more in college about living with people and dealing with people because of like roommate situations than you do in your classes. And it's a better life lesson too. Mm. Well, with that, I think we are absolutely done with our aftercast here. And as always, thanks for being a potty.